Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I just had a baby and I'm tired, but I could tell you this, without Balance of Nature, there's no way I would have the energy I have right now. I've done so many different multivitamins and different things, and I have to definitely say Balance of Nature is the thing that's really, really helping me right now. I've been listening to these commercials and these testimonials, and I'm like, okay, whatever. But this is a product that I actually could say, holy cow, I see results.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
The Kate Daly Show starts now.
And we have a breaking news story to tell you about. Apparently, a plane has just crashed into the World Trade Center here in New York City. It happened just a few moments ago, apparently. We have very little information available at this point in time.
This is the other tower, ladies and gentlemen. Another explosion at tower number 2 of the World Trade Center just happened live on our air.
No, it wasn't in the commercial airline.
No, that second one, definitely.
First one I never saw. The second one I saw was big, but it didn't have any markings on it that I saw.
No, I didn't see any. The second one, I didn't have, like, no camouflage or anything.
No emblems, no logos.
I mean, it was moving so unbelievably fast. The last thing I saw before the second attack was the silver underside of the plane before it went into the building.
The plane wasn't no airline or anything. It was a twin-engine, big, gray plane.
Mark, were you close enough to be able to see any markings on the airplane?
It definitely did not look like a commercial plane. I didn't see any windows on the sides.
No, it was a black plane. It looked like a fighter jet.
It looked like a fighter jet.
And it didn't look like a commercial jet.
Could be a drone aircraft. That's an aircraft that's guided electronically to its target without having a pilot.
Did you actually see the jet itself?
Yeah.
And what type was it?
It was gray, to be honest with you. It was gray. It was like a 737.
I thought it was a fighter jet coming into cover the city.
We've heard reports of secondary explosions after the aircraft impacted, whether in fact there wasn't something else at the base of the towers.
In the lobby of Peugeot, a bomb had exploded there. All the glass was taken out. There were 10-foot by 10-foot marble panels that were once walls. Several people with their hair singed, skin hanging off.
And at that time, we heard a huge explosion.
This was clearly, the way the structure is collapsing, this was the result of something that was planned. This is not, it's not accidental that the first tower just happened to collapse and then the second tower just happened to collapse in exactly the same way. How they accomplished this, we don't know.
Kate Daly Show. So glad to be with you today. And somber remembrance today, 19 years later. Can you believe 19 years? Almost 20 years have passed, you guys. It seems like yesterday. It seems like a gazillion years ago at the same time. Everybody knows where they were. It's one of those moments in history where everybody can identify exactly what they were doing at that moment. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Happy to have you. I've got such a fantastic show for you. I'm very excited about this show today because there's going to be a lot of truth bombs laid today. Alan Stevo joins me in this first hour. And of course, in the second hour, Rebecca Roth, who is writing her fifth book about 9/11 and clearly came up with some things that no one else did on 9/11. And so I invite you to both hours of the show today that are going to be completely amazing. Alan Stevo, best-selling author of The Bitcoin Manifesto, also writes for Mises, The Hill, Daily Caller, you name it. He's probably written for that publication and just a world-class guy. Alan, welcome to the program.
Kate, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be on. That was a high-energy intro you had running.
Wow, right? And those are all of the clips that the media just didn't want to play again. And these things were recorded, interviews were done, and then all of a sudden that was kind of dropped in favor of whatever supported the narrative at the time. It's kind of amazing looking back that we didn't realize that they were going to be squeezing out many of the interviews that actually pointed to something that happened very differently on 9/11. People right on the ground. And so there's three things I want to mention, the precursors to 9/11 that everybody needs to, I think, understand or at least look at, because these were very, very telling moments. And then I want to get into with you your experience with 9/11, and then also we're going to talk about some other things too. Rumsfeld admitted to having been able to account for $2.3 trillion in a press conference held one day before 9/11. Now, that's interesting because $2.3 trillion, not billion, not million, no, $1 trillion is an awful lot of money. And the computers that were moved and then in the line of fire at the Pentagon, whether it was a missile or a plane, kind of hard to tell at this moment because all the cameras were shut off at the Pentagon when it happened, ironically. But all of the stuff that housed, you know, for the investigation of where that $2.3 trillion went, were moved just prior to 9/11 into the very spot that was hit. Okay? And nobody's ever talked about it since. $2.3 trillion of our tax just disappeared. The other one was the put options that were made on these struck airlines, United and American. There were definite put options put up. The stocks went through huge surges, went through the roof. That is... very dramatic spikes took place. Okay. Somebody knew that those two airlines were going to be involved in this. And then the other one is the Project for the New American Century, PNAC. Now, this document came out a year and a half. They said it was a neoconservative think tank. No, it was both sides of the aisle. Actually, it was everybody from Biden to Wolfowitz to Cheney to Scooter Libby to William Kristol, who was the co-founder and chairman, Robert Kagan, you name it. A lot of individuals on the staff of this that put this together. But this was a document to outline what revolutionary change we needed, some catastrophic and catalyzing event, their words, not mine, like a new Pearl Harbor, they said, in this report that would outline 20 years of where they were going militarily, what they needed for the budgets. They knew that whatever was going to take place in this new Pearl Harbor would bring us into a huge, heavy war budget with wars. And that's true. That's exactly what happened. And then, of course, the fourth final thing is the Patriot Act that was already written in advance, that just so happened to be just thrust on the American people, and it never went away. The Patriot Act was a defining moment of taking away civil liberties. And so I'd love for you to talk about any one of those items, or we can actually launch from there. Alan, go right ahead. Alan, are you there?
9/11, oh, yeah. I was a regular, hello.
Oh, there you go.
I was a regular American watching what was going on. I got sucked into it all like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about Building 7, and when I heard about Building 7, something broke in the narrative for me. And, right? Two planes were flown into New York skyscrapers that day. Three skyscrapers went down. After that, I couldn't believe any of it anymore. And the narrative was so heavy. And I'm watching right now, I'm watching, you know, you're talking about what we didn't realize then, mm-hmm. how it was used against us.
Right.
And these 20 years have happened, and I'm looking back on it, and I'm just, or 19 years, and I'm just kind of saying to myself, what are we going to be missing down the road right now? What are the ways that we're inviting the tyrant into our homes, into our lives right now, that the future will say 20 years from now, why'd they do that? And it seems so small to some people. I think it's just the greatest thing you can be doing right now. If you have a good reason not to be wearing that thing, you should not be wearing that face mask. This is this minimal way that the tyrant is shoving his foot into the door of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who's dealt with that type of personality, or for anyone who's even dealt with a salesman.
Right.
And there's nothing sinister about a salesman. A salesman will keep pushing that deal until you say, that's enough money for me to spend.
Yeah.
And right now, no American is saying that's enough. We're just saying, bring more, whatever foolishness you say to us, we're going to do. And when that vaccine comes, I know who's going to take that vaccine. Every single person wearing a face mask is going to take that vaccine.
Yeah, sadly. You're right. You're exactly right on that. And you're right to tie these in together because we are at a pivotal moment. This year, this is happening to us right now. We're being lied to. The information is astounding that says that what they're saying isn't true. We have evidence of this. They've actually admitted it. That's how far they'll go. They'll even admit it. And here we are on this precipice of just not getting it again. And so, you know, we went into a war with Iraq we should have never been in. And we did it all for the wrong reasons. But for some reason, in our cognitive dissonance collectively, we're mad, we're angry, so let's go to war in a country that had nothing to do with even their own interpretation of what happened in 9/11. So the fact that our country was just... Okay. I mean, that scares me that right now we're also in the same kind of situation with COVID-19 and people still aren't seeing that we get lied to and manipulated. And here we stand. And so you're right. This is a huge moment to again grasp as we're actually going through it right now again. And are we going to let them get away with this again?
There's what you described about Iraq, you know, and the other interventions that follow that document you mentioned from the Project for a New American Century.
PNAC.
You know, why the thinking person is forced to ask himself all the time, why am I doing this thing that I am doing? And if you don't have a good answer, you should be doing nothing. The action should be nothing. You should be left alone to do your own thing. And am I supporting war in Iraq out of reason? Out of fear? Am I supporting this face mask out of reason or out of fear? Am I doing the exact same thing everyone around me is doing out of reason or out of fear? Is there science behind what I'm saying? Or is it a desire to fit in?
Ooh.
And this is so important around what's happening right now.
You're right.
So, I mean, when you put on that mask, you get stared at in a different way. You just kind of blend into the background and people don't look at you. And if you don't wear that mask in a population, like I had the joy of finding my way into Berkeley, California today for some strange reason. Mm-hmm. I happened into it, and I was the one maskless person I found, and it was Twilight Zone par excellence. I couldn't believe what I saw and how much it upset so many people for me to not wear a mask. It was craziness to me. That place is many people trying to virtue signal and fit into the herd as best as they can, and I bet your listeners, some of them, may find themselves fitting into the herd once in a while, and I want to encourage them to not make a single action, not a single one, without thinking to yourself, why am I doing this? And is it for good reason? And if it's to fit in the herd, there's almost never a good reason for that.
Right. You're so right. We all got together, and what you said was just so brilliant. You know, are you doing this out of reason or out of fear? Are you doing this out of science or desire to fit in? Because back then it was, you better get on this momentum, because don't you want those victims to get their due diligence? I mean, don't you want them to be celebrated as we go after their attackers? We're going to war. There was no reason behind that, but that was the catalyst. Right now it's, you're going to kill somebody's grandma. I mean, you're not in the room with somebody's grandma. There's no way you could kill somebody's grandma. But right now, that's the victim is, you want to kill somebody. Back then it was, you know, you're not sticking up for the victims. It's just insane, the manipulation, the amount of manipulation that goes into this and how we absorb it. And so I just love that you made that point. It's a fear. Are we doing this out of reason or out of fear? It was brilliant. We're going to come right back. More with Alan Stevo when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss today's show. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com.
There you go.
We all...
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
On that September day, were you in the yard with your wife and children, were working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry?
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. You know, thinking about that song and thinking about what happened 19 years ago, I think we're still in shock that so many perished and feel so sad that so many were sacrificed and perished for what happened. And all of us just have that kind of pain, you know, still from that day. Just it could have been any one of us. And it's interesting when I look at the COVID thing, and I'm reminded that the huge spike in deaths came from New York and New Jersey when they were putting people in the nursing homes, right, specifically. And there's a lot of accusations today about the fact that, gee, the only spikes we had were when New York and New Jersey were off killing grandparents in nursing homes. And that's a heavy charge, but I'm telling you, were more lives sacrificed? Are we going to look at the truth, just like we should have looked at the truth of who the perpetrator were way back when? There's two things that I actually want to tell you. One is there was a request for correction to the NIST final report of the collapse of Building 7. Okay. And you mentioned this, Alan. I'm with Alan Stevo. And you mentioned this because this was that Building 7 was the catalyst for you waking up a little bit more on this, right?
It sure was.
Okay.
That was something else for me.
Yeah. So I knowing that, what I find interesting is Catherine Fletcher was the one that issued this letter, and the NIST Management Organization Office, this was to Catherine Fletcher, National Institute of Standards and Technology. And this is what it said in the report for the correction that this was more of a demo. Okay. Demolition instead of, you know, what they, I mean, there's just no other way than a coordinated event, okay, that had to have happened for this to happen. And this is what it says. Specifically, should the correction of such information render a finding that the collapse of the WTC-7 building was caused not by fires but a controlled demolition, it would instantly cast doubt on NIST's finding that the total destruction of the WTC towers was caused by airplane impacts and ensuing fires and would most likely lead to congressional and criminal investigations to identify those responsible for the destruction of all three buildings. And so, and it went on one more sentence. It said, the process and outcome of such investigations would most likely fundamentally reshape the American people's understanding of the 9/11 attacks and have broad and profound influence on the policies of the U.S. government. You think? It's amazing. I'm glad that this was issued, this correction, that they were asking for this correction, because we... 19 years later, we're not talking like 3 years later, 19 years later, I only know one person in my life who actually still believes the narrative. What about you?
My mouth's hanging open as you were reading this letter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Right? It's amazing. It's just amazing that 19 years has flowed, because this report was just issued on April 20th. Everybody's locked down, you know, and what's crazy is that there's so much evidence in every single arm of 9/11 in every single way. It's hard to not notice. So let's go on, shall we? Because I'm glad that you're bringing in what we're dealing with right now, because this is the moment. These are the moments. I wish we all would have known what we know now on 9/11. What can we learn right now? What can we learn right now with the space mask thing?
When I see you doing your thing, you're so high performance. You're like so high intelligence, and your audience for sure is attracted to that same kind of right. Them, I'm certain you have this hardworking, high intelligence audience, the same as you. And you know,
that's really sweet. Thank you.
There's a problem. There's a problem that smart people also have to contend with. They have this like tremendous resource that makes their life so much more wonderful, and it can be problematic because it's easy for smart people to turn critical.
Yeah,
which could be awesome and bad.
Yeah,
and it's easy for smart people to complain.
Right.
And if you just complain from a distance, if you just say, "Oh, that government program is horrible, and what they did that day is the worst," blah blah blah. If it stops there,
sure.
You know, that's kind of like a form of procrastination almost.
It
when
is.
The smartest people in society are convinced that their words are enough, that their actions are not needed. If they're convinced
Good point.
To stay home and just complain about the news, I mean, the bad dudes have a lot easier time. And this, in this moment, constantly asking yourself, you know, if you're in Germany in 1943, mm-hmm. or if you're in Chicago in 2020, constantly asking yourself, what actions are going to be the most meaningful actions right now in my life? This is so important.
Right.
I'm going to go back to the face mask. You speak volumes about your philosophy on the world by not wearing that thing.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it's such a visual representation of what you believe in and what you see. You're exactly right. It's just, it's an outward visual representation right there. Speaks volumes, yeah. Wow. So true.
Some people, they get these face mask compliance checkpoints. They don't know what to do exactly. And those can be very intimidating checkpoints. Mm-hmm. And you could compare it to Checkpoint Charlie in some ways in between East Berlin and West Berlin, that it really is a checkpoint and there could be danger to you that's physical from not complying at that checkpoint. I wish it weren't that way, but that's the reality we live in. And there's, you know, with a few magic words, there's millions of Americans who really don't need to wear a face mask because they have some type of medical exemption. It's harder for them to breathe in it.
Right.
They get a headache from it. It's very, very common for someone to get a headache from a face mask. So there's all these medical exemptions. And with just a few magic words, your listeners might feel much more comfortable at that checkpoint.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
They might feel much more comfortable just saying, I'm unable to wear a face mask safely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that really gets the job done. And if you don't even do it right at the door, if you don't do it at the checkpoint, if you have 10 minutes beforehand to call the manager and say, hey, I'm going to come by. I'm unable to wear a face mask safely. What kind of accommodation can you make for me? Some stores will offer to shop for you. But if you push, you say, no, I want to see the produce myself. You guys always give me bad produce when you shop for me. You push a little, you're going to get in that door with no face mask. And this is what it's such a simple, seemingly minor gesture, but this is training for yourself to say, if I don't like something, I'm going to push against it. That's all there is to it. No one's going to force me to do fill in the blank, whatever the behavior is.
That is so true.
Training for yourself. But it's also you telling the outside world, no, you can't just push me. That's it. My boundary has been reached, and that's it. And it's very, very important because 2020 does not get better.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is not going to be a better day. I don't know who's setting the forest fires or if it's lightning. I don't know what's going on with that. But 2020 does not become better tomorrow. I'm pretty certain of that.
So true.
It definitely doesn't become better without a few intelligent people no longer procrastinating and saying, I'm going to act. I'm going to act decisively. It's going to stop in my life right now.
Right. You're exactly right. Because you have three different kinds of people. You have the people that are defiantly walking into a store that they'll just walk in. They don't even answer. I mean, they know what they're going to do. They're not wearing a mask. You're not going to put one on them. That's it. Then you have the bulk of the American people. And so many people are feeling like, well, yeah, I know something's up with this. I've heard some things that don't make sense. I'm just going to wear it because I just don't want to have to deal with it today. I don't want to have to deal with the looks. I don't want to have to just face that today. I'll go along because it makes my life easier today, even though I know something's wrong with the story we're told. And then you have the ones that are completely just in it and love it and want to wear the hazmat suit. They wish they could almost wear a hazmat suit because they're living in that much fear. And so when I'm thinking about 9/11, I think of it in the same way. There are those that defiantly totally understand and get it. Then there's those that don't know if they want to mention it in a crowd or over the dinner table because they might get that reaction. And so it's better just left unsaid because you don't want to go there with people. You don't want to have a dramatic conversation with people. And then there are the people that believe everything they're told. And so we're dealing with the exact same dynamic right now of people, right? It's insane.
It is insane when you're talking about your individual rights, and it's important. This is so important. It's good to blame the tyrant. Tyrants do bad things, but everything you say anytime, you need to turn the mirror on yourself as well. And it is not the tyrant's fault that you are so easily oppressible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's very, very
that's
true.
That's the individual's fault. That's the individual's fault.
That's very, very true. You know, our mask right now is the very visual sign, but at the time of 9/11, it was, then you want to go to war to get the bad guys. You better want war, because if you say you don't and you're questioning it all, then you're the bad guy. So a lot of people, they would get together with friends that understood what was going on, but they wouldn't take that stand. And we desperately needed that stand. And so you're right. You got to walk the walk. And it's so easy to complain because you felt like you did something, you complained. Like it's something. But this is where the rubber hits the road. And this is why you have to just every single day take on the burden of being the one that stands by themselves in the crowd, right? And it is. It's a burden, but it's something that has to be done. So,
and this is why, this is one reason why, you know, there's this saying that easy times create weak men and hard times create strong men. There's a reason, right? That burden you just spoke of, that burden makes the people who learn to deal with that burden stronger. This is, we can rejoice at how much we've had to exert ourselves, how much free people have had to exert themselves in 2020. This can be a time for rejoicing and saying, man, have I been getting a lot of good practice? Yeah, it's nice. It'd be nicer if I could just lay in bed until I'm 87.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And have grapes fed to me my whole life and not have to ever exert any influence. That's
right.
One kind of any impact on the world. That could be one kind of life I live. But that's not the life I want. And this is a blessing to me.
Mm-hmm.
As horrible as things that I've seen, this is also a blessing to me in its own way to be able to have these challenges and be able to strengthen myself.
Right. I mean, I absolutely agree with that. And along the way, I mean, what if those that were involved in the PNAC would have had a conscience and would have stopped that document from going out, or at least identified the horrors in that document early on so that people would have known what was coming? And all along the way, I mean, I could keep going on all the different things that happened and all the people that could have stepped up at the time and said something. Didn't. And that does create a momentum, and that momentum catches. When somebody sees somebody without a mask, they're more prone to take off theirs. And so that visual representation needs to be knocked out so that we can finally start grappling with the truth of what we've just been through this year. This year is such a telling year for, are you finally going to wake up? Are you finally going to get it? Or are we just going to just keep on a believing in whatever they tell us? Because I'm telling you, it's so chock full of lies and it's so obvious. I'm not quite sure anyone can even justify it anymore. Kind of like 9/11 there. I don't know that you can't not look anymore. I don't think there's any excuse. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. More with Alan Stevo when we come back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show, September 11th, looking back now 19 years, almost two decades later. Welcome back to the show. I have Alan Stevo with me. Welcome, Alan.
Hello.
Hi, Alan wrote the book, The Bitcoin Manifesto, a very popular book, and also writes for Daily Caller, all kinds of publications, The Hill, you name it, Mises organization, all kinds of things, and a profound writer. I hope you check out his work. I'll tell you, you're bringing up some great points, and that is taking action instead of just wearing it and wearing that mask, that very visual representation, and hoping all this passes. But just making sure that we take those steps. Before we go there, I just want to say a couple of things. Number one, visit balanceofnature.com and check it out. You're going to see all the fruits and vegetables that you get in this supplement. And this supplement, I highly, highly, highly suggest to you. Definitely, you have control over your health. This is the way that you can help yourself. Balanceofnature.com. I love this product. Researched it myself. And this is why I chose it. It has everything in it. You name it, it's in here. Minerals, vitamins, all the things your body needs and is crying out for. Make sure that you give this to your body. Balanceofnature.com. It's taking six small little caplets a day, and it's 31 fruits and vegetables a day that I know you're not going to eat. Go, and when you go to balanceofnature.com, put in my name as the code, K-A-T-E, and you're going to get 35% off and free shipping. It's just a fabulous supplement. I absolutely love it. I want to play something for you. One, there was two things that were just so staggering to me. Number one, I remember looking at the pictures of Shanksville and thinking, there's no plane. Why is there no plane in Shanksville? Where the airplane, they said, hit and just disintegrated. Never before in history has a plane disintegrated. I don't care how hot it is. It's never done that. And you can go look at 1,000 airplane crashes, if there is 1,000 in that same airplane. But I looked at the photos and I thought, there's not even a door handle. How in the world could that be possible? But on the news, they kept telling everybody there was a plane there. And I remember thinking, no, there's not. Am I nuts? And I showed my little boy in at the time, and he goes, no, there's no plane there. And I said, okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't crazy. Something is very wrong, even with that story that we've been told. But then there was this phone call from CC Lyles, the flight attendant. And I mistakenly on one of my programs called it Betty Ong's phone call. They're both flight attendants. This was CC Lyons' phone call. And she was calling from a GT Air phone. And it's very clear. And the phone, you know, at that time, the phones at that time, even if you could get through on a GT Air phone, it wasn't going to be clear. It could be dropped very easily. You never could be on a sustained phone call at a high altitude. So this call was very clear, and I want you to hear the last three words of this phone call. There's a female voice in it, and it says, you did great, right after the call ends, or right after she ends talking and says goodbye to her husband for the last time. This is CC Lyles. Here's part of the phone call. Here we go.
I hope to be able to see your face again, baby. I love you. Bye.
You did great. Did you guys hear that? It's a female. Here we go. And one more time. You did great. It was a female voice. Now, we were told all the hijackers were male. There's certainly things about this that are not obviously adding up. There's more than 100 items. And I hope we have the eyes to see this. Finally, after 19 years, if you still haven't awoken to 9/11 yet, it's a catalyst for many people waking up, because we're in the middle of a 9/11 right now. That Patriot Act that was already prepared years before 9/11, it's still in play. And I don't think we realized it was going to still be in play this many years later, because these things never go away. But now we're in the middle of COVID-19. We're being lied to and manipulated. And are we going to see it? Are we going to see it? And actually, like Alan says, are we actually going to act, not just wish it go away and wear the mask and go along to get along? But are we actually going to make a stand? And I just love your thoughts on this, Alan. Go for it.
You know, the idea that I can't influence the president single-handedly.
Right.
There's so many people who influence the president. Even if I were the most powerful person in the world,
sure,
second to the president, I couldn't even do such a thing. But what, you know, this idea has gone through many, many different iterations, and sometimes it gets attached to Gandhi, but, you know, you need to be the change you want to see in the world. It has to start with you. And the only person, I can't change your behavior, my neighbor's behavior, the person on the street, but I can change my own behavior. And so when I look at myself, you know, what can I do today to be better? And one, with these face masks, it's so simple. It's so simple. It seems so minor, it's so simple. But there's all these face mask orders written, and some people will say, oh, that governor in Michigan, Whitmer, she's made this horrible face mask order. I got an email yesterday about this.
Right.
Look at this horrible face mask order we got. And I read the face mask order. This is one of the nicest face mask orders I've seen so far. It does come from a tyrant, but there's all these exemptions in there. There's exemptions for pastors. There's exemptions if you're getting a haircut. There's exemptions if you're a certain age. many, many exemptions. So all anyone has to do, don't believe the press release. Don't listen to what the news is saying. Go Google what or search in any way the actual face mask order and read the thing. It's going to take you 10 minutes to read it. There's going to be exemptions in there.
Yeah.
And the exemptions may very well apply to you. And almost no one's going to even ask you if they don't apply to you. The exemptions are there. The ability to still be human is left there for you. These are not totally tyrannical laws. These laws shouldn't exist, but they're not totally tyrannical yet.
Interesting.
And I know plenty of people. One guy I'm thinking of specifically who's really fantastic, he had some clarity of mind from the time 9/11 was going on, and I know all of us in different stages were on a journey trying to figure out what was going on, and some still are. This man very quickly, when they told him, you're going to enter the airport and you're going to put your arms up like someone's pointing a gun at you. You're going to do the I surrender pose.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that, there's no way you're ever flying again. And he said, there's always a loophole.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I read what their policies are?
Mm-hmm.
And he figured out, if you have a parachuting accident or something like that, you don't have to do that I surrender pose because you can't lift your arms through the I surrender pose. And then, if you don't do the I surrender pose, then we're going to touch you in private places.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their policy actually says if you have a medical exemption from the I surrender pose, that they don't touch you in private places.
Mm-hmm.
He very quickly figured this out. Where's this loophole? And this is, people can be their own individual freedom cell, or they can be freedom cells with a few other people. And you don't need the beauty of some of the thoughts that you and I share are that you don't need permission of a central planner to go be a free person.
Right.
You look at some central planner trying to control you and you say, okay, well, let me see the document you're trying to control me with. Oh, of course, there's loopholes there. Look, I fit in those loopholes. This is a very powerful response to tyranny. It works very, very well.
Yeah.
And there doesn't have to be any face-off at the checkpoint.
Okay. Because I think there's a lot of people out there that are listening right now and they're thinking, well, I'm just going to do it because I it's not right. Okay. So not even looking for a loophole. Just it's not right. And so I'm just not going to do it. I've never worn a mask. Ever. I don't even own one. And I've never put one on. And so there's really two ways to go about this. And if you need the loophole to feel a little bit better to take a stand, okay, I can give you that, And if you are one of those that walk into a store and say, I'm not wearing that, then, do it. But take some action. Try. Because I think like you said before, the complaining and the putting it on for a short time, even just because it just sends a signal that you'll be okay with this. You'll put up with this at some level. You'll deal with this and go along. To get along. And so I love the message, though, that look for the loophole or don't. I mean, either way, take a stand and then defend that boundary, right?
Defend that boundary. This is truth. This is, you just described truth. Defend that boundary. Truth is identifying a boundary, communicating a boundary, and then defending that boundary. This is part of interacting with other people in a way where you're not telling lies of omission.
Right.
You are not hiding. You're not being passive aggressive with them and telling them one thing and doing another, or you're not lying to yourself about what you actually want. We always talk about the truth as only being, telling someone, committing a lie. But there's more to it. And this is not, in a free society, this is something that must be done by any upstanding person to identify what their boundary is on any matter, to communicate that boundary to others and be comfortable doing it, and to be ready to defend it. No,
yeah.
I don't want that right now. Thank you.
Oh, so true.
Simple defense like that.
It's so
very,
true.
Very important. I love what you're saying, Kate.
Well, it's odd. I brought this up on the show before, and I said, if there was an earthquake and something happened, it would be very visual. You would know it. Everybody would know it. There would be absolutely no two sides to it. People wouldn't be out protesting it, that it happened. I mean, there would be a very clear evidence that something went on. And in this case with COVID and with 9/11, we're relying on all of these people on TV to tell us what's going on. Okay. And so, so when we're all privy to the information and we can see it, we all react usually, and there just isn't any other form of thought because, yeah, there was an earthquake. I mean, what's to debate, right? So when people see a debate, when they see a debate and they see two clear sides and accusations and both ways, and they're saying, but this doesn't add up and that doesn't add up, and it could be 9/11, COVID, whatever the case may be, I think we all, as the American people, need to do our due diligence to look at both sides then. Because if there's two sides and there's an argument going on, there's usually a good reason an argument's going on. Because it isn't easily identifiable for everybody to see. And usually something like this on this level would be. So we're just, instead of just being reliant on every, on all these so-called experts telling you what they want you to hear, then go after the truth yourself. Because if there's a debate and you see people protesting, find out why they're protesting. Find out why. Because if this was obvious, if people were dying around you, everybody would be probably putting on a mask if we were in the middle of a plague. Right? So why do we cling so fiercely to what we're being told in both of these events? Why are not more people doing more homework when they see the contrast, right? Of people feeling just absolutely completely opposite of one another on this issue. I think you just, as a person, you have to say, recognize that and say, "Oh my gosh, I'm gonna look at both sides. I got to find out what they're both saying."
Especially when someone's protesting, like you said, that for something got them out of bed in the morning.
Yeah,
and they might be a total raving lunatic.
Right.
But yeah,
somebody's not wearing the mask. Find out why. Right. Find out why they're not wearing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's always usually probably the first step we need to start taking now. And it just seems to me that the biggest manipulations of the truth happen to be when we're solely reliant on these people to tell us what happened. Amazing.
Right. So, right. You talked about the loophole. You talked about mm-hmm. marching right in the front door. I far prefer marching through the front door. I know many people need the permission of the law to do
mm-hmm,
things,
mm-hmm.
and they perhaps forget that morality mm-hmm. is far more important than law.
Right, or to say it's not a law. Right,
law.
Or to say that's not a law. That's just simply not a law. Mandate's not a law. So when it becomes a law, you know, I'm a law-abiding citizen, but it's not a law, and they need to be called out on that, right?
So right.
Yeah.
And if we don't, I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know.
Right.
A lot of things I don't know.
Right.
Something I do know, I'm pretty certain of, is if you don't put your foot down on this
yeah.
will never stop.
Yeah. And 20 years later, we'll be discussing all the lies that were told and why didn't we wake up and what happened to us as a people and why did we allow our economy to dive and why are we allowing this? Because I think we're headed into another lockdown for probably 3 months. And if that's the case, if that actually comes to fruition, then we're screwed. Right now is the moment when we can stand up against it. Just like right before all of this stuff happened, we just need to do it. We just need to stand up and enforce our boundaries. Thank you so much, Alan. It's always a pleasure and it always goes so fast. Darn it.
Thank you.
Alan Sivo of Bitcoin Manifesto. Check that out, his book, and then also all of his writings on all the different, The Hill, Daily Call, you name it. Alan's there, and I absolutely love it that you put so much thought into these articles. Thank you, Alan.
Thanks,
really,
Kate.
Really appreciate you. He'll be back in about 3 weeks. And of course, on to the next hour with Rebecca Roth. Stay with me. She wrote Methodical Illusion, and you're not going to want to miss that either. Two great hours on the show today, and be right back on The Kate Daly Show.